I know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time.
You can search this whole world over, and no greater friend you'll find.
Well, now he's not good once in a while,
but he's good all the time.
I want you to sing it like you believe it. Oh, I said, my God is good.
Truth this morning. Do you know it's the truth? Give him a big hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it even better to be the house of the Lord? Look at somebody and say, God bless you, you soldier of the cross. Boys, play a little bit more of that. Yes, he is. You know what? You ought to feel like the most secure congregation in the whole world.
Amen.
You've got a captain that's never lost a battle. You've got a bodyguard. You've got a bodyguard that's of great character. And you know, as he said last night, what an honor it is for him to be our bodyguard. What an honor it is for us for him to be our bodyguard. Is that right? And every congregation that's got a great bodyguard that cares for their souls, tell them the truth, they ought to feel exactly the way we feel. We are a blessed congregation this morning. Look at somebody and say, you're blessed. You're blessed. Every one of us is blessed. God bless you this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Why don't you just give him one more big hand clap of praise this morning? Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got several prayer requests we want to let you know about. Brother Carter Lawson offers this testimony this morning. I want to thank the Lord for a settlement on my black lung. I was turned down 4 different times, but his timing is perfect. He has blessed me so much, and I want to give him all the honor and the praise and the glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Donna Masagi fell last night, unable to walk. The doctors think that she has fractured her knee. She has several health issues, desperately needs a healing touch. So we want to remember her today. Got a couple of announcements. We'll get to those just in a minute. Brother Terry Tidwell did send a text this morning after prayer was made last night. Folks probably everywhere praying for Sister Vicky, but her temperature came back to normal. And they're just praying that her white blood cell count will come up to where it needs to be. But he, in his text, he just wanted to thank you personally for praying, Brother Donnie, for praying. And he said, we don't realize it until we get in great, dire need, just how much we need and rely on one another. That's the truth. You know it? It's the truth. Amen. Sister Anna Shipley would like to thank everyone for praying for her, also for the phone calls, the get well card. She hopes to be able to be back in church in April. So let's pray for that tonight or this morning, that the Lord would just be with her. Brother Jim Hughes wants us to remember Charles Edwards. He's in the hospital. It's a friend of the family. Let's remember that need this morning. Want to pray for a sister of a friend. She is in the hospital in Florida, also suffering from diabetes. Victoria Clark sends that in. Brother Thomas Carnes desires our prayers. He's been diagnosed with bladder cancer. He is scheduled for surgery on the 20th, March the 23rd. Brother Randy Gisendanner sends that in, so let's remember that need as we pray this morning. Brother Brandon Green wants to thank all the saints of God very much for praying for his father. His breathing problems turned out to be a gallbladder problem, according to the doctors. He is scheduled to have it removed on Tuesday. Please keep him in your prayers. Brother Brandon wants to thank you for your prayers. Please pray for Bridget Becker. I believe that's the name. She is having surgery. She's having surgery and to have a stent removed. So we want to remember Sister Barron sends that in. So let's remember that need this morning. Brother Gene Terrell not feeling well, unable to be in the service today. Sister Brittany Elliott, flu-like symptoms, unable to be in the service today. Let's pray for her. I want to pray for Carrington Daly, very sick with a stomach virus. Let's remember that need. So we just commit these things unto the Lord. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, we certainly want to pray for all of our local assembly that's suffering from sickness this morning. Could we stand together? Brother John Horniak, come this morning. Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just commit these things unto the Lord. We're serving a wonderful risen Savior. Right? Appreciate Brother John, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Love you, man.
Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, first we want to tell you how much we love you, Lord. These mortal lips, Lord, is so hard, Lord Jesus, to be able to express to you our feelings, our gratitude. Lord, it overwhelms us when we think of, Lord, how you were held to that rugged cross, Lord, not by nails, but by love. Lord, you loved us so much, you stayed there, Father. Lord, through all the pain and all the suffering, Lord, all you could think about was us, Lord Jesus. How great you are, Lord. And Lord, it's hard for us to express how much we love you for that, Lord. But Lord, our lives are, Lord, though we make mistakes and such, Lord, our lives, the way we live, Lord, our love for you is holding us to the cross of every day, Father, and we're just thankful for that, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, these requests, Father, that we bring before you. Lord, there's many, many needs, Lord. We're a needy people. And Lord, it seems overwhelming sometimes. And Lord, sometimes we feel like we can't escape the trials and the troubles of this world, Lord. And then we get into your presence. And your sweet voice, Lord Jesus, tells us everything's going to be okay. And it's all in your hands, Lord. And we love you and we thank you for it, Lord. And so, Lord, we bring these needs, these requests to you, Father. The only one that can do anything about them, Lord. We can go to the doctor, Lord, but they can't heal us, Lord. They can put us on a path, Father, but ultimately the healing comes from you. Situations, Lord Jesus, that seem insurmountable, Father God. Lord, you solve them all, and we thank you for it, Lord. We pray, Father, that these requests would be done according to your will and your purpose, Father. May we, Lord Jesus, look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. And Lord Jesus, as we approach this service, Lord, Father, we're here to worship you. We're here to lift you up, Lord. And we know, Father God, you want to reciprocate that back to us, Lord. And we're looking forward to you expressing your love to us, Lord, through the songs, through the worship, and through the ministry, Lord. I pray that you would just anoint each and every one that has a part in it, Father. Just come down in a special way. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here this morning, we do have some visitors with us that we want to welcome to the service today. First of all, Brother Jason, Sister Lisa Roncalli, and their family, they're visiting this weekend. Raise your hand. Everybody knows who you are, but just so we'll know where you're sitting so everybody can look at you. Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. And Sister Lena Jones has moved back home from Georgia. We want to welcome her back home. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And we want to welcome from Arkansas, the Duckworth family. Where would they be? Would you just raise your hand? Where are they at? Back here in the back, give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Also, the Schmids, I hope I got that name close to right. From Tucson, where would you folks be? Raise your hand. Where are they at? Right here, give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. And our brother that was here last night visiting from London, England, is he with us in the service today? Where would he be? Where would he? Back there, give him a nice hand. God bless you. And you home folks that are visiting with us today, God bless you. We're glad to have you. Give them a nice hand this morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're glad to have all of you in the house of the Lord. Most of all, we covet and desire the presence of our risen Savior. To have the preeminence in this service today. Let's sing a song. Every time you get to feeling sorry for yourself, you probably just need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me for feeling sorry for myself. Because you really ain't too pitiful. Really, you're not. You're not really too pitiful. We all got problems. We all got situations, different things. But I'm going to tell you something. To escape this world through death, we're getting to go home to be with the Lord. And if we get there, you think we'd come back here? Ain't no way. I'm not making light of anything like that or your problems that we've all got them. We've all got situations, but we've got hope. We've got such a hope. Our benefit package is totally out of this world. Nobody can't touch it. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to sing it inspired this morning. Please forgive me. We love to hear this little guy sing, don't we? Amen.
My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. Oh, I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground.
Please forgive me.
I need your grace. grace to make it through. All I have is you, and that's your mercy. Lord, I will serve you.
Oh, yes, we will, Lord.
Until my dying day. Help others find the way at your mercy. It's hard to believe the God of earth and glory, He would take the time to care for one like me. Oh, but I read in the Bible that old story, how you pled for my forgiveness when you was hanging on a tree. Starting to believe the God of earth and glory, He could care for one, to care for one like me. Oh, but I read in the Bible that old story, how Jesus pled for my forgiveness while He was hanging on the tree.
Headed in the wrong direction, Satan was sure he had my soul lost and bound. Through God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Hey, you like you believe in church.
And I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
I was headed in the wrong direction. My sin dark as night. Satan was standing between my soul and my life. But Jesus gave me a light to shine when he saved this soul of mine. I'm glad I crossed
I
over
want you to sing it,
in
church.
Time.
Oh, and I'm so glad I crossed over the line. Oh, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. That line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Amen. Well, you're just singing too good this morning. Just too good. God bless you. I appreciate you. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. We have a couple of specials for you this morning. Sister Tamika, if you come on the platform, be getting ready to sing. Brother Harry's got us a song this morning. After she sings. And then that's amen, Brother Terry. That's good. Give Sister Tamika a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for you today.
Sometimes it seems so close and yet so far. Oh, I need another chance. I need to know your mercy. Please give me the strength to change within. I know that I'm not all that I should be. My weakness seems to get the best of me. But as long as you are near, I know that I will make it. Every step along the way, please hear my prayer. A heart like yours is my desire. A heart like yours is what I'm searching for. Full of compassion and nothing wrong within. Heart like yours. The faults and many failures that I see, they make me wonder why you thought of me. Frailties, for you knew that all along I was your seed. Whom my desire is to give my all to you. Lord, let me spread your light in all I do. Tender mercies, for they make me only long to be more like you. A heart like yours, Lord, that's my desire. A heart like yours, Lord, that's what I'm searching for. And nothing wrong with it. Please Lord, give me a heart like yours. So much grace, so much kindness, so much faith, forever true, strong as the wind, but so just once I could be like you, a heart like yours, Lord, that's my desire. A heart like yours, Lord, that's what I'm searching for, full of compassion and nothing wrong with heart like yours, full of compassion and nothing wrong within. Please hear me, Lord, give me a heart like yours. Please hear me, Lord, give me a heart like yours.
Didn't bring the words of this song because I thought Brother Brandon was going to sing. A few weeks ago, I sung a song of one of me, the one of me that's, woe, oh, wretched man that I am. But every once in a while, I get a glimpse of a man, another of me. The same one that Brother Branham got a glimpse of when he said, I'm not the son of Charles and Ella Branham. I came from somewhere else. Every once in a while, I get a glimpse of him. Try to say I am a pilgrim. I am a stranger. I declare this world is not my home. I'm only here for a season. God knows the reason. When I'm through, I get to go home. 'Cause I came from somewhere I can't remember, but I can't forget. In my homeland, my father, he is a king. I must live like that. These tests and these trials come to perfect me. I will come forth like gold. My Father knows what I need to finish His will in me. Oh, very soon I'll go home. 'Cause I came from somewhere I can't remember, but I can't forget. In my homeland, my father, he is the king.
must live like that. Someday you might hear that I'm gone. Please don't weep for me too long. Remember the words of my simple song. I'll finally be home. 'Cause I came from somewhere that I can't remember, but in my soul I can't forget. You see, in my homeland, my father, he's the King of Kings. I must live like that. I will live like that. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Awake, north wind, come, O sound, blow upon my garden that the spices may flow out. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. My beloved spoke,
amen,
and said unto me, rise up my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let your north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. For behold, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth again, the time of singing has come. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul,
grant it, Lord Jesus.
Let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Hallelujah.
Song of Solomon, chapter 4, is the wedding night. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's him describing her, how beautiful she is, how he loves her. She don't say anything until the last verse. And then she says, "Come, O north wind, and come south. Blow upon my spices of my garden." You know what? He finally convinced her. Glory to God. That's what he's doing on us. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, the elect in this church are going to be convinced as sure as there's a God in heaven. You're going to see it, and you're going to beckon for the north wind to blow. Amen. Well, I've been blessed to be here. Y'all want to go to the house, or we can just stay for a little while longer and have a little more? Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. I guess really I'm glad that this chapter is so small. Because if it had 100 chapters, I'd stay dealing with this in the 78th year of the millennium. I love it when we break into eternity myself. We never run out, friends. We never run out. Remember the David Siler was telling me at Fort Church last night? He said, you know, you never run short of finding things to preach. It's just finding the mind of the Lord and what to put where and how to arrange it all. I'm so grateful we have that time of word from God. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. We're going to pray. I'm sure that you have a need, a request in your heart. You'd like to be remembered before the Lord. Brother Terry Tidwell called me this morning and said a little bit after we offered prayer for his wife last night, the fever left her and started dying down. So we're grateful to God for that. She's still in the hospital. We're going to keep her for a couple of days and see what they can do with her white blood count. So he asked if we would remember her in prayer. And my daughter Erica has not been feeling good for several days. I'd like for you to pray for her, and her daughter Emma's not feeling good today. You've got your needs, your request. Let's just take it before our Lord Jesus right now. Father, we count it such an honor to be called your children. We thank you, Father God, for the channel of prayer by which we're able to approach you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so mindful of us in our earthly journey. And you have bid us to pray. You've told us, hitherto you've asked nothing in my name, but ask that your joys might be full. And you said by James, we have not because we ask not. And then when we ask, sometimes we ask amiss. And then you told us to ask abundantly. So we want to bring all of these needs before you today. Father, we ask that your great hand would move upon the service now. May you anoint our faith, Lord. We pray for those that are sick. Thank you for moving her, Sister Vicky, last night. We pray that you'd be mindful of her, Lord, that you'd just touch her, dear God, and move from this white blood count. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for her thus far. And we ask you, Lord, that you'd just help her. You see Erica, Lord, feeling sick, Emma, different needs that was signified by the raising of the hand. People all over the world, as they will watch this, Father, we pray that you'd be mindful of them as well. Those over in a fellowship hall, dear God, may you visit us today with your divine presence. We look to you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Let me speak to you again today by the help of the Lord on an overcomer in the galleries. The setting that we have are the bodyguards of the Shulamite, which have been sent from King Solomon to transport this poor, humble Shulamite girl into the position to be the wife of King Solomon. To be one of the harem would have been something within itself, I'm sure, in that day. To have been recognized as being the wife of one of the greatest kings that was on the earth at this time. But yet, she's not going to be one of the harem. She is his favorite. To understand how that when the Song of Solomon was written during this time frame, looking at it in a double sense of the way we looked at it last night, the scripture has compound meaning. And knowing that she is on her journey, of course, too, to meet Solomon, this great parade as it's coming. But we also want to look at it again today that we, as the elect of God, are in our journey to meet our Lord Jesus. We believe we have been married, do we not? We have been joined in an invisible union to our blessed Lord. And I'd like to point out to you again today that this overcomer, the Shulamite, is being guarded by overcomers, the bodyguards, and they are all ultimately heading toward the overcomer, Solomon, or the Lord Jesus himself. We believe that God certainly has placed his church into the care of the appropriate offices that would be necessary and essential to be able to transport his people from this world to the next. Looking at it in the sense of God's divine way, God could have chosen angels to come down. They could have been here every day of you folks' mortal life. They could have been in your home. They could have been visibly seen with you in your automobile. Angels could have walked with you into Walmart. They could have went with you on your grocery shopping in a visible means. They could have been with you everywhere. God could have chosen, if he so desired, people with natural weapons to stand around you. He could have chosen angelic beings that would have been so powerful that just by their sight, people looking at them, they would have been terrified. They would have moved back from you. But God chose to him the greatest thing that he could have chosen, and that was gifts. And he would place those gifts inside of men, and those men would be the ones that would be the caretakers and the bodyguards. They would be the innkeepers. They would be the shepherds. They would be called so many, many things. And the reason is because they are multitasking in what God wants them to be. So they're not just feeders in the sense that they just study and then bring you something and then you go your way and they go their way, but they are also shepherds in that they have your welfare at their best interest. So when you hurt, they hurt. They lay awake thinking about you at night, praying for you, concerned about the things that are in your life and what you're going through. So because of this, God calls them various things. But to me, one of the lovely things that the Lord Jesus gave to the identity of these bodyguards is a sensitivity about the needs of the people. Now, it would be easy to draw from the concept of the Song of Solomon here that these bodyguards would be very hard men. They would be very difficult men because of battle. And truly, it is a great balance that each of us must find because we are warriors, all of us, not just preachers. We are warriors in the army of God, and war tends to bring about an insensitivity to loss, an insensitivity to suffering. You imagine that for nurses, and we have different ones in our church here that are in the medical field. And there has to be an element of that to where that in time you learn to desensitize and separate yourself from every surgery that you see, every sick child, every sick man or woman, though you remain a caring individual. But if you don't do that, it will destroy you. And it's the same way with war. I myself have never been in natural war, but some of our brethren here have, and I'm sure that the first man that they ever saw killed, one of their buddies, or maybe one of the first men that they ever shot themselves, it was a very difficult thing. I don't know if you ever get over something like that myself or not, but I'm sure that it must be very difficult. But in time, you would have to come to a spot that survival mode would override your sensitivity of taking human life. and you would come to a spot to where you just have to arrive at that position and know that it's either me kills them or they kill me. And we know in the spiritual sense, whenever we fight spiritual wars, it's the same way. We have to take certain stands and we have to be identified with the word. And with that, you're going to hurt people's feelings in spite of everything you do. You're going to make people mad. You're going to make them upset. And sometimes those people will be your best friends or your family. And it's a very difficult thing. But yet it's something that we're all required to do. But in the sense of being a minister and being called by God, and God calls you to fight, and God calls you to deal with very difficult things, and you lose many, many friends along the way. And it's a very great struggle to where that you have to maintain that part to where you absolutely will stand by yourself if necessary. If necessary, you will stand, and every friend turns against you, you will do it. If every person in this world that loves you says they love you, and yet it comes right down to it, and you have to make your stand for the Lord, you'll do it in spite of everything that comes against you. Then the battle is of you keeping to where that you are sensitive yourself and not building this wall around you to where, well, I don't care what people say. I don't need nobody. Then see, you're turning off that sensitivity, because once you lose feeling for the people, you can no longer help the people. Now, you can be a professional singer, and actually you're basically putting on shows, and that's all what it is for a lot of gospel singers. You're just a singing for a show and for an offering or whatever more. And preachers can become professional preachers to where that they learn how to preach. They run through the routine. They shake their leg a certain way. They wave their hand a certain way, and they can't wait till the sermon is done. I personally hope to God I never get to such a state. I want to preach every sermon with feeling, every sermon with reality, every sermon with cause, motive, and objective, which reflects the Lord Jesus. Don't you hope I always stay that way? Don't you want our singers always to remain that way? But Jesus gives us a view of these brave men in a way that will help, I think, bring into reality what the God called men really have, and balance up maybe your view of them as well. Because it would be easy to view them as men that are so badgered by sin. They are so badgered by the unbelief of the world. They get called so many things. They get criticized and they get run down. And oh my, if you stand for God, that's just part of it. But yet there's another aspect of these men, which is very, very sensitive, and I thank God for it. I want you to notice this in the lamb and the dove. Brother Ben says, you know, Jesus found a man one time in a parable. He was on his road from Jericho, or from Jerusalem to Jericho. It showed he was backsliding because he was going from high, going down low. Now remember, he's backsliding as he's going down. He was backsliding, and he met him on the road. An enemy had beaten him and robbed him. And he left him half dead, that was physically alive, spiritually dead. The priests and the Levites, so on, they passed him. The Good Samaritan, as Jesus taught it, came and picked him up, poured oil and wine, taking him to the inn. Now, there's the place I want to get to you. Now notice now, here's Brother Branham going in, and he would visit in all these different places in the country and different parts of the world, and they would have the different churches and the different pastors and shepherds that would come and bring their flocks, and they would attend Brother Branham's meetings. Now watch, Brother Branham did not work against the ministry, but worked with it. And this is why when he would come to the end of the meeting, either the next or the last service or the last service, he would encourage the converts which had become saved. Now he said, you see these men, and what they would do, they would have chairs up on the platform in the auditorium or coliseum, and these preachers would sit behind Brother Branham. And he would say, now you see these men? They invited me to your city. They believe what I'm preaching. Now he said, you go search out one of these men and let them baptize you in Christian baptism. Christian baptism, find you a good church to go to, pray through to the Holy Ghost, and stay there and be a faithful servant to God. You see, the prophet of God never preached against true God-called ministry. He couldn't. He was a true prophet. Only a false prophet tries to pull you away from God-called ministry. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now, notice, Sam, what Brother Branham wanted to do. He wanted to bring the people to where the wayward, the lost, the sick, and so on would be able to be picked up on their journey as they had backslid. Now, listen to what he said. There's a place I want to get to you. He'd taken him to the inn and said to the caretaker, take care of him. And he gave him a couple of pennies or whatever it was to pay his way and said, now, if he needs any more, just go ahead and take care of it and I'll make it right when I come. Now, you shepherds, God give you the spirit and the word to take care of these wounded ones that's been brought in. Now, notice Brother Branham is likening now the shepherds or the pastors of this area where he was at, that his ministry had brought in the sick and the wounded and the lost and the afflicted. Now he's turning them over to the local shepherds in the local assemblies, and he wants to bring them to, they'll be able to find a shepherd and a church and a flock and a family of God that will love them. Now he says that Jesus gave to these men the spirit and the word. So he gave them two pence, is actually the word that Jesus uses in the parable, and he gives them this ability to be able to take care of these people. And then he tells him, you know what, if they add more difficulty to you while I'm gone, whenever I come back, I'll make it right with you. Now, this is the way Jesus feels about his God-called ministry. Then I wonder how Jesus feels about folks making fun of it. Now, this is the way that Jesus looks at it, that he has placed you wounded, sick, afflicted, downcast, whatever you are, sick sheep, into the hands of loving shepherds. And if it is truly a loving shepherd, then he has been given the balance of two great aspects of God to be able to nurture you back to spiritual health. Actually, he will make you so healthy, he'll preach you right into a new body. That's pretty healthy, if you ask me. Now, but apparently Jesus gave the man, notice he didn't give him a television ministry. He didn't give him this and that and the other, but he gave him everything the man would need, which is spirit and word. He didn't say nothing about a great personality, curly hair. He didn't say nothing about him being a great Hollywood star, but he gave him everything that he would need, spirit and word. Listen to me, Happy Valley, if I'm a true shepherd of God, the spirit and the word which has been committed to me by Almighty God will not only heal your body, not only heal your home, not only heal your spirit, it will bring you to the ultimate divine healing, which is reverting your body back to a young man or a young woman. Oh, glory be to God. Notice now he said, God give you the spirit and the word to take care of these wounded ones that's been brought in. And if you need any more, he'll take care of that when he comes. So just feed those sheep. Now, you know, God is not going to be beholden to any man. So if there's anything accredited to your account, which is exasperated more out of me than what need be, don't worry, Jesus will settle it on that day. Inspire your servants. Again, he says, the ministers of our gracious, precious brothers, the shepherds of the flock that you've called out and set apart, dedicated lives to the service. We pray for them, Lord. They are the men who will carry these, the innkeepers. Now watch, Brother Branham likens the inn to the church, and the innkeepers are the shepherds. Now, I want you to notice in this that there is apostles and prophets, of course, and evangelists, and the fivefold, as we call it, the fivefold ministry. But the inn is not given to just the evangelists. Evangelists come through. We thank God for them, don't we? Apostles will go out and start works. How we thank God for the prophet of God. How we thank God for each one. But yet the church itself is committed to the care of an innkeeper. Now it would be very difficult for an evangelist to be an innkeeper because he'd want to load up the inn and take it with him everywhere that he went. An apostle would start an inn here and then he'd move one over there and then he'd be over there. The prophet, you know, different type of a call altogether. So what does God do? God places a shepherd in charge over the inn. Now the some people will come, and as it is with any inn, some people will come and they will get treated and they will get better, and then they decide they want to go somewhere else. So be it. You know what? God's used my ministry to help many folks that was not to actually remain here permanently, but just to bring a healing for them so they can go on and be what God wants them to be somewhere else in another inn. Or maybe they're called to actually start an inn themselves. But the most important thing is us being brought to the inn of which is absolutely what we need. Now, every innkeeper is a little bit different. Some innkeepers are more flamboyant. Some are more, you know, the more studious type. And some are more scholarly. Some are more fiery. Some more evangelist, whatever more. But yet, each of us should really pray that God would lead us to the inn that we need. Now, some of you all, of course, would choose Comfort Inn because you think you need a lot of comfort. But the truth of it is, God won't let you check into the Comfort Inn, but God had you registered already in the Whipping Inn. Some of you think you need just so much bragging on, so you would prefer the Bragging Inn, where all meals are free, everything is there to brag on you and tell you how great and wonderful and so on that you are, but God canceled that reservation for you and sent you here. Oh my. Some might prefer, you know, this or that or the other, but what did God do? God picked a little inn down in Louisiana, and he picked a little short friend of mine about that tall with real black hair. Matter of fact, I did see a few gray not long ago when I saw him, and God gave them an innkeeper that would tear the hide off of them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. You know what? God knows exactly where we each one need to be. Don't you thank God? And if we find that spot, then we will be able to sit there and not only be healed initially. Well, I had drug problems. So we had terrible marriage problems. And under the ministry of this man or that man, God really brought me to a healing. God has really healed us. Well, if God did that, then when trouble comes, don't just get up and run off and go somewhere else. Maybe God wants you to stay there to reach the ultimate healing. Now, anybody's ever left our church here knows that I never condemn folks. I never call their name out from the pulpit and say a bunch of devils and a bunch of liars. You folks feel led to leave and go somewhere else, do it. If the Lord leads you to do so. But make sure it is the Lord so you don't miss your ultimate healing, the body change. But we know that every God-called man, now whether he has a congregation of this size or small or five times bigger, that doesn't really matter. But God gives to every innkeeper the same thing. Now what's it for? It is to transport this beautiful, lovely Shulamite bride in tight to where she will be ultimately made whole under this guidance of Solomon or Christ Jesus. Now in this, no doubt they were giving a heads up, as it were, and they were told different things about her. No doubt these men had already been to the land of Shulam. They already knew where it was, the country, the vicinity, but maybe they didn't know about her shyness and her backwardness and all that she was. And they were instructed in the very best of teaching that could be given by Solomon himself and maybe those that was around him in order to help soothe her, in order to help bring her into this conscious state, because once she can ends the journey, the festival will actually begin. Now, she's not going to get a week or 10 days or 2 months in order to be able to change her mind and change her view. Her views must be changed, glory, in the journey. In the journey is where she's got to be changed. She's got to be totally transformed from being this country girl, which seems like she's nobody. How in the world could this happen to me? She's got to be totally transformed from Shunem, which is 50 miles, 52 miles away, into the land or the city of Jerusalem. And by the time she gets there, she's got to step out of the king's palanquin and she's got to act like royalty. Now, this is not going to transpire just by the teaching of her mother and father, because they were not royalty themselves. And neither were these bodyguards, but they no doubt were instructed in order to help her and to nurture her along the journey and help bring her to a spot to where she can begin to act like a queen's wife.
You want to know why we don't look like the world and act like the world? Because we are not of this world. We are from another world. Notice, let me read you one more here on the Salt and Jezebel religion. Remember the good Samaritan that found the man wounded and he brought him to the inn. That's the church. And he gave the man there 2 pence and told him if he needed any more, he'd pay him when he come. So he's got 2 pence. He's unable to doctor you if he's a man of God. Now, if he's a man of God, he's able to doctor you. Now, truly, there are special cases that may require a special doctor. Some pastors are general practitioners. Some pastors are more isolated specialists in dealing with this and that and the other. And that's why we should pray over the church that we go to. And the church said, now watch, verse 7 again. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel, which is 60 men. And we typed it last night in the type of the tabernacle in the wilderness, as there were 600,000 of the children of Israel, which camped around the tabernacle, the east, the west, the north, and the south. But notice now in verse 8 that there is a mystery here of something that we'd like to look at. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear of the night. Now this shows us in her journey that everything isn't or possibly won't be pleasant. That there is a chance there will be war or there will be difficulty or there will be things that she will face that she's going to need the guidance. Now this woman's not a warrior. She's not expert in war. She probably didn't know what to do with a sword. She's seen them all of her life. But yet to know how to use it, to know how to be able to defend herself, she wouldn't know how to do it. So you would want men who knew how to protect her. And this is exactly the kind of men that Solomon chose. Now let's run a parallel, if you would, to Psalms 27 this morning. Now we know when Brother Branham got ready to preach the message entitled The Rapture, that he reads Psalms 27 beginning with verse 1. This is the only time in all of the entire message where we have recorded on tape that Brother Branham ever reads or ever refers to Psalms 27. Now it seems strange in one sense of the word that he would want to use this for the rapture, because most generally if people preaching the rapture, they use 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, or something like that, Revelation 19, 7, or Luke 17, or something like that. But here Brother Branham goes in a direction that no doubt to the theologians and the preachers that was sitting there seems so different and so unusual that you would go to Psalm 27. But he said, I would like to use this as a background for the rapture. Now the word background, you know, all of you know, kind of similar, no doubt, what background is. But one of the meanings that I found, which was so interesting, was that it was circumstances or conditions describing something that has happened or fixing to take place. So it is circumstances or events that's describing something that has happened or fixing to take place. So he reads this for the background of the rapture. Now let's read it. Psalm 27:1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Now notice the appropriation of the use of the word my. My is a very personal word, very, very small word we all know. And we've said it since we were little bitty things that we started saying my bottle, my passy, my mama, my this, my that. So it shows that there is a possessive use of the word my. Now David, I believe he was led by the Spirit of God. I don't know if David knew that he was writing the rapture psalm or not, but yet God knew. So he says, the Lord is my light. Now, it doesn't say that God is light. That's well and good. That's wonderful to be able to say that. But to say the Lord is my light puts you in a different category than saying it in general, generic terms, the Lord is light. No, the Lord isn't just light. He's my light. Now notice then, this is in the time of great stress and great trouble. And this is the parallel that we'd like to look at again this morning. That in the time of the bodyguards leading the bride onward in her journey, which is where we are today. I know that we all believe that. In her time of journey, David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now apparently there are things then that David is fearing or that can and try to impose fear on him, things that aren't around him, since he uses the word fear and afraid several times over and over again. So apparently it was, in a spiritual sense, nighttime. Now there's something about night, especially after the fall. No doubt the earth had night in the beginning, because the cycle, the rotation of the earth, the way God put it in its orbit, we don't see written in the scripture to where that there was no night then, or the lapse of night rather. But whenever we look at night, there's something about night after the fall that brings automatic dread and fear to most human beings. Or the same thing in the darkness of a room. Many of your children are the same way. They just can't hardly stand to go in a dark room without a light being on. Will you go with me, Mama? Will you turn the light on? Because there's something about dark. Now, initially, man did not have that, but after the fall, something put that in him and his unregenerate nature. So getting out at night and hearing strange sounds and all that sort of thing, you know, it's kind of nerve-wracking. I was in Africa several years ago and hunting. I was able to hunt there while I was there, and I'd never been in this part of Zimbabwe before, and it was a different type of a place, and I was staying in a little small cabin of a thing. There was no lock on the door, and it was a different, unusual place, kind of a thatched type of roof and a block sort of wall with some element of stucco or something on it. And I heard all sorts of peculiar sounds, and the guy told me, he said, "Now don't open your door at night because there's leopards around here." Oh, well, that's nice. I'm going to be a leopard's breakfast some morning. So during the night, and I'm a lot sleeper anyway, every little sound, it seemed like it was magnified and so loud. And when my bed was against the wall, I heard this animal, I didn't know what it was, sometime in the night, in the morning, and it was making the most peculiar sound that ever was. And of course, in my mind, you know, it's me in between two slices of bread. It's the leopard that's coming after his late night lunch or snack. But I asked the guy the next morning, of course he told me it was an anteater, that it was pulling up the ants. But there was something about the night. Now, the African night is totally like unlike anything that you ever heard before in your life. You hear the hyenas, you hear the lions, you hear the elephants and all that. I heard them during the day. And no doubt I heard and saw some of the same animals that I heard at night. But there was something about the veil of darkness that it just magnified it, and it worked on my imagination. Brother Donnie, you're not going to tell us you was afraid. I am going to tell you I was afraid. Now, the next morning I got my gun and I went out and shot different kinds of animals. How come? Why? Because there's something about light and darkness that brings such a contrast to us as human beings. Now, this is very important that we understand the Lord is my light. So in our journey, as we are on the palanquin of the great king, and we have the bodyguards which are around us, and what are they there for? They are there for our protection. They are also there for our consolation and our strength. We within ourselves know that we don't know how to get there. We don't know the way back, but he sent men who apparently know the way home. Oh, glory. He sent men that will lead us back, that can produce a rest even in the time of darkness. Now, notice David fearing, and he went through lots of things, of course, in his life. And it was a very great and important element to David that the Lord was his light. Oh, my. You know, it's one thing to be able to cry out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." It's another thing to say, "My Lord and my God." Amen. I ain't just talking about your Jesus today. I'm talking about mine. I ain't just talking about your place in the rapture. I'm talking about mine. I ain't just talking about y'all's church here at Happy Valley. I'm talking about my church too. I'm talking about y'all's message alone. I'm talking about my message. This belongs to me. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Oh, my, my. And whom shall I fear? I like this. I found this yesterday. Martin Luther said, the moral of the Gospels is the pronouns my and our. The moral, which is the inside of your bones. The moral of the Gospels is the pronouns my and our. Take my and our out of the Gospels and see what kind of gospel you'd really have. Amen. Darkness, then, is an emblem of distress. So you, the bride, is being transported in this emblem of contrast of both day and night. She's going to have daytime, but more than likely she's going to have one, if not two nights in the darkness by which these guys will have to watch and protect her. Same with David. As a man who loved God, oh yeah, people like this generally are such extremist people. They live in the presence of God, and when they're up, they are really high, and when they're low, they are really low. So darkness, of course, is an emblem of distress and trouble and despair, and light is exact opposite of that. Sounds that seem so peculiar and so strange in the night, yet in the day, Brother Branham talks about going to see the mountain out there in Arizona, and he heard about Superstition Mountain and all the superstition that was this and that and the other, and he got out there before daylight, and he said, when the king come up, which was the sun, all the superstition rolled away. Then Superstition Mountain became not a superstition after all, but the light showed upon that, it brought manifest what it was. It's the same way with trials and things we go through in our life, and sickness, and we face such difficulty. We're like, what in the world is going on? Have I done something to displease the Lord? What is it? But when the light comes up, you look back and think, oh my goodness, that's all it was. That's all it was. He was letting me be tried. He was letting me go through a difficult time that he could prove my love for him. So light certainly illuminates. Now this is very important, and this being the background for the rapture. So he says, the Lord is my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. The strength of my life. Our strength should not be our money or our own ability, what we can do. It should be the Lord. And he says, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Now there are things around him that would make him fear this way, or he would not be asking the question. Same way with you and I as we are in our journey back to our husband. Now watch in verse 2. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, excuse me, they stumbled and fell. Now here memory is a great thing, but memory can be a haunting thing as well. Memory can be used to actually solidify and substantiate your faith. Memory can recall previous things that God has done for you, but memory can also recall your past failures. Memory can recall your shortcomings, so it depends on how you allow memory to work for you or against you. But now here David is saying that there was a time in my life that the enemies came up against me, and I remember how that God by his mighty power came in, and the enemy was so arrogant, and the enemy was so proud and so confident, and he felt like he would destroy me this time, but my God came and my God delivered me. Now what's he doing? He is recalling the victory. Oh friend, I believe we do God a great wrong. I believe we do God a great wrong and ourselves a great wrong by not thinking more and praising more of the victories that the Lord Jesus has done in our life. It's so much easier to complain than it is to rejoice. It's so much easier to complain. Well, I don't have this and I don't have that, and this ain't going right and that ain't going right. But what about all the things that are going right? What about all the good that God has done in our lives? And it tends to make us in such a bad humor. Now I think we ought to praise him every day of our life for everything that he does. My hallelujah. Notice he says, when the wicked, even mine enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Now you know that confidence comes from experience. There's just something about it. A young Christian, they cannot understand that, of course. They have the joy, they're escalated. Oh my, did that great thing, God save me, praise the Lord. Oh, I feel so good, hallelujah. You say, well, enjoy it, buddy. Oh, it's wonderful to feel like that new faith. But you know what? I would not trade the experience of being able to know that God can help you when you don't feel him than for all the bubble dancing you can do all your life. I love to dance. I love to worship God. But that won't carry you through the hard times. Notice in verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Background for the rapture. Notice the journey for this Shulamite. She's fixing to merge her life into the life of a king. And she's on the most treacherous journey she's ever been in her life. Fear, danger. Who would not love to kill this woman? What kingdom builder in Solomon's kingdom that would love to raise up his own kingdom in the message or in Solomon's kingdom wouldn't love to wind up with this trophy? If he could get the Shulamite, if one of David's other sons, Adonijah, or one of the other sons could get this Shulamite, my friends, you may not understand it and comprehend it, but you are a great prize. Both to God and to the devil and to kingdom building preachers. Oh, not so much for your soul, but for where you live and your ties in some instances and your number to add. Well, we got so many down in Johnson City that streams our services. Oh my, isn't that something? They got Happy Valley to go to, but instead of going to Happy Valley, they stay home and stream another man's service. Yeah, well, they got to have the truth. You're a trophy. Well, so and so, you know, it's really a shame. They're living down at Brother Tim's, but they can't get fed down there, so they have to stream this man or that man another trophy. I ain't looking for trophies. I'm looking for souls. I really don't care who gets the honor for you making it. As long as you make it, that's what matters to me. I don't care if all of you, I don't care if every one of you, eventually every one of you leave me, and I have, as your pastor, I have nobody here but my own family. And somebody else gets the credit. Some of you go to Brother Tim, some of you go to Brother Mike Price, some of you go here and there and the other, and when the rapture comes the day of, I've got two people sitting here, and that's me and Carol. I don't care who gets the credit for you being there. As long as you're there, we'll shout down the streets of gold together. I'm not looking for numbers and trophies and the size of my ministry. What in the world difference does that make anyhow? It's not about me. It's not about our church. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Him and you getting married together. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. It must be nice to be liked by everybody. I wouldn't know myself, but it must. I've heard people talk about it, and they say it's really something. David was that kind of a guy. Host hated him. People studied him. My, to bring war. It's the same way with you as the bride. Notice this. But David has one point of confidence. And this is it in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Not to return to Saul's court. Not to be a rich man. Not to be a wealthy man. I have desired one thing. That one thing is what I want. Now this is how he knows he's going to make it. He judges it by his desire. If you look at yourself today, you won't miss the mark very far at all by doing exactly the same thing. You tell me what you love. You tell me what you think about. You tell me what you is. Church, your life is the word, your life is the message, your life. If it is, and that's your soul speaking, you'll be in the rapture. If church is a social something that you do once a week, if coming here at your convenience is something that you enjoy doing, more than likely you're not going to go in the rapture with that attitude. But if you have this thing, there's one thing I want more than anything else. There's one thing I desire more than anything else. That is to live in the presence of God. Amen. And it actually brought such a confidence to David that he knew no matter what he faced, his desire would overpower every power of the enemy, because he knew God so honored that desire. I ask you, what one thing do you want? Does church mean the same thing as it did to some of you when you moved here years ago? Some of you moved here, my, left jobs, left this and that and the other, couldn't have church enough. Now you show up half the time, a third of the time. Some of you live 4 or 5 miles down the road. We got a family sitting here that drove here to be here this weekend from Alabama. two families here from Georgia, family from up in Virginia, families from all different kinds of places. Why? Because church has value. Church has value. Instead of working and shopping and going here, ladies' night out on Saturday night out. If I was you, I'd move that to Thursday or Friday or Monday or Tuesday. And I'd come to Jesus. Saturday night is Jesus' night out here at Happy Valley. But you know what? I can't preach it in you. I can't force it in you. If you don't love him more than you love anything else in this world, I can preach to you till I turn blue in the face. And it won't do me one bit of good. It's a problem of your love life, my friends. Loving Jesus more than you love anything else. Well, my mama, I don't want your mama to miss it, but if it come between mama and heaven, I'd choose heaven any day out of the week. I don't want my brothers, my sister, nobody that I know, nobody that I love. I don't know of anybody I wouldn't want to go, but I'm going to go no matter what any of the rest of y'all do. One thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. That will I seek after. One object of life. One object. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now let me assure you of this. If this is your desire, everything in this world will be used against you to affect this desire. And all of them won't be sin. All of them will not be wrong of their self. You just get busy and get this and that and the other, life and kids and grandkids and this and that and the other, and my this comes up and I wanted to be there, I wanted to pray, I wanted to read my Bible, but I just don't have time today. Oh my, I just get so caught up. Everything will come against you if this is your profession. But you have to be this Shulamite, as it were, relaxing and resting in the palanquin as the soldiers and the brave men are continually feeding her new identity and who she is. And she said, how am I going to do it? And they said, little lady, you're an overcomer. Solomon saw something in you that you didn't see in yourself. May I say to you today, saints of God, no matter where you're from or where you are listening to this service in the different parts of the world, our Lord Jesus saw something in you. He saw something in me that I still don't see. And more than likely, you still don't see. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. Oh, wow. David's a peculiar sort of a guy. He wasn't a Laodicean guy. David didn't expect it to be dropped down his front door by a drone. Amazon's starting to use the drones, you know, and UPS tried one the other day and it failed. And before long, we'll have drone preachers and drone messages. I saw a little cartoon not long ago in church, and the pastor was standing up behind the pulpit, and there wasn't one person in the pews, not one person. And he was speaking over the pulpit, and he said, I do sincerely hope that the church is enjoying this new ability of streaming. Wasn't nobody there. Apparently they all enjoyed streaming. Brother Tim told me this week that he tells streamers in his church that don't come to church when they could be there, they'll probably be streaming the marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! I sure don't want to stream that, do you? I sure don't want to stream saints walking down streets of gold. Brother Ted, you out there shouting, waving your hands, and me streaming it on the iPhone? No way. No way, Brother Dell. I want to be there when that's going on. And I want to prove myself to the Lord. I'm going to show up now. Oh, hallelujah. This one thing have I desired, that I can live in the house of the Lord. Leave it up to Brother Tim to come up with that, huh? That will I seek. Constant prayer. Constant dedication. Constant application. I will seek after. Notice
to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, this is not handsome or in the way we would speak of beauty, but it's pleasantness and desirability to behold the pleasantness of the Lord. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. The background for the rapture. Trouble, fear, afraid. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Now remember, David was not only a king, but David was a warrior. This had happened to David countless of times in the natural sense. What they would do would take the king or the general's pavilion, which was his tent. All the rest of the men lived in a little small tent to keep them from the elements of the weather. But David's was called a pavilion, or the kings of that day, or generals. It was an upgraded version of what everybody else had. It had some of the comforts of home, the niceties of home. They would set the king's pavilion in the middle of wherever they had chosen to camp. The tent, the pavilion, went right in the middle. All the rest of the armies camped right around him. So if you get to King David, you got to come through this guy, that guy, that guy, that one, that one, that one, that one. And the pavilion is in the middle. Now, David, with this in mind, Brother Terry, as he says, I know what he'll do. In the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. He will take me to the inner sanctum. This is where this bride is now riding. She is riding in Solomon's palanquin. She is in behind the veil under the protection of the bodyguards, the choicest men of Israel. May I say to you, you're not riding home under the auspices of the protection of some bishop somewhere. You're not under the protection of some church somewhere. You're under the protection of all. Almighty God, who not only has men that are watching over you, but my Lord God has legions of angels that are watching over you day and night. That don't mean they'll eliminate trouble, but it means they will stop the evil of trouble from overwhelming you. It don't mean you won't have trouble and sickness, cause you will. But God don't stop the trouble, but He stops the evil of trouble from destroying His people. I love this word hide. It means to hide, then to defend and protect. Notice what David said, he'll hide me in the secret of his tabernacle. He alludes to the ancient custom of offenders when they would claim sanctuary. So someone had done wrong. They'd kill somebody. They'd done something wrong. They're after them. What would they do? They would run into the tabernacle, grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and say, I claim sanctuary. David said, if I trust Him, glory, I can claim sanctuary. In the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a revelation. A rock. And what is the rapture? The prophet tells us that the bride will be waiting for the revelation of the rapture. And the revelation is faith. Oh, Brother Donnie, some great man's going to raise up and they're going to find a tape that they've overlooked at the voice of God. And they're going to find this tape, and in that tape will be this certain magical. We're not playing witchcraft. Services like you sat in last night, like you're sitting in today, when you go to other churches and visit other men, or you listen to sermons of the prophet on tape, do you understand what's going on? These elements, these components which are making the rapture, are being stored up in you as mechanics.
You say you're service after service, and you say, well, I don't think I got a whole lot. That's as far as you know. You see, your soul is pulling in that which it needs. When the moment of the rapture arrives and the time moves upon us and the rapturing spirit of God quickens you, it's going to quicken all them mechanics that you've been storing up for the last 50 years, and you're fixing to explode out of here. Oh, hallelujah. Service after service. When you thought, I didn't get nothing. That's a bunch of good quotes. That was some good preaching. That was really good scripture. I didn't get nothing. Oh, yes, you was. You were storing up another load of mechanics. You was getting another Saturday night of mechanics. Another Sunday morning of mechanics. And when the rapture hits it, you won't be able to take it. So after the revelation, verse number 5, verse 6 is the consummation. And now shall mine head be lifted up. So after the rock move, here you go. May we add to David's words, not to add to the word of God. Not only is our head going, all the rest of us is going with it. My head shall be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Oh, glory. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Sacrifices of joy were attended with shouting and sounding of trumpets, in alluding to the blowing of the trumpets in the book of Numbers when they offered the atonement. Some of you folks, and I ain't never seen do no more than this in church. I'm longing for this day. Notice he says sacrifices of joy. Jubilee offerings, which is truah. Sacrifices of shouting and clanging of trumpets. So you folks better bring your earplugs. Oh, let me tell you something. You think I get loud sometimes? You wait till me and my older brother David hook up. You wait till me and David joins up there together. Lord, have mercy. You won't have no problem finding me and David. We'll be on the shouting side of heaven. Is there a shouting side? If he would say this without the Holy Ghost, Lord, it's a good thing David don't live in this day. The deacons have done had to run him out of here 20 times. He'd have been running up and down these aisles saying, glory, glory, that's what I wanted. You all have what I wrote about. You all have what I wanted. I never could get it. You've got it, Brother West. You've got it, Brother Terry. You've got it, Brother Keith. That's what I wanted. I wanted to live in the house of the Lord, not the tabernacle, the house of the Lord. Oh my. Can I have just a few moments? She arrives. The Song of Solomon eliminates the ceremony. Jumps straight from the procession into the wedding night. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 1. This is the wedding night. All the guests are still frolicking and, you know, whatever more that they would have done in those times. The musical instruments are playing. Everything is my just going, going, going. But this is him and her. They are now married. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Now, Jesus don't have a stuttering problem. We have a hearing problem. So it has to be told to us over and over again. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. You see, prior to this, it's only a spousal talk because they're just engaged. But in this chapter, it's the first time that he calls her spouse, which means married woman. The word spouse is used 6 times in the Bible. All 6 times, you guessed it, are in the Song of Solomon. Behold. So they're in the room alone, the bridal chamber. Now she's removed the veil. She's taken over her face. Now they're just sitting and they're just talking and, oh my. She still can't grasp it. He senses it. He knows it. So he starts talking to her in a way to finish her. Bring her on up. The ultimate goal is chapter 5, verse 1. But she's not there yet. She's not arrived. So he starts. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Now listen, what he wants to convey to her. I am the judge. You don't judge. But listen to me. I am the judge. And if I say you are fair, you are fair. I am the judge. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your weaknesses. Don't look at your failures. Listen to what I'm saying to you. His heart is expressing honesty. It's not that he sees this polluted, vile, wretched person sitting there and he's trying to produce mind over matter. He is seeing the deposit of his own love that he put inside of her. If he loves her this way, she must be the fairest among women. You are not fair, he could say, because of what you have done. You're not fair because of your family. You're not fair because of your upbringing. You are fair because you found grace. In my sight, you are clothed. And maybe he could reach over and take a hold of the wedding dress that he had sent her. And the necklace of pearls or diamonds or rubies or whatever more that he had sent her. He could reach over and take a hold of that dress and look at it and say, behold, thou art fair, my love. And she's still sitting there flushing. And, you know, she just don't know what to say. And, oh God, can this be true? Brother Donnie don't know what I've done. He don't know my shortcomings. It's not necessary that I know it. It's not necessary that I know your past. It's not necessary that every person in this church know your past. What's necessary is that the blood of Jesus takes care of your past. With genuine repentance. Not being sorry that you got caught. Genuine repentance. Oh my. Let me close with this. The Ephesian church says, I know we've read it quite a bit, but I'm going to read it again. The true church of Jesus Christ, the bride is likened to pure gold. Her righteousness is his righteousness. Her attributes are his own glorious attributes. Her identity is found in him. What he is, she is to reflect. What he has, she is to manifest. There is no fault in her. I need help. I need help to overcome. Anybody else in here need help to overcome? Not drinking, not lying, not adultery, not robbing banks, any of that sort of thing. To overcome me, Donnie Reagan, a man. And separate me from me when I read this. And know that when I read this, he ain't talking about this. There is no fault in her. She is all glorious within and without. From beginning to ending, she is the work of her Lord, and all his works are perfect. In fact, in her is summed up and manifested the eternal wisdom and purpose of God. How can one fathom it? How can one understand it? Though we cannot do that, we can accept it by faith. For God hath spoken it. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Now, brothers, whatever you do, after church today, don't tell your wife this. You'll be eating lunch out of a straw for the next few days. You see, us without their understanding, it wouldn't mean quite the same. What's he doing? He's appealing to her in the way she can understand it. She was a shepherd girl. She had seen these black goats, and no doubt Brother Dale looked at them as they shimmered on the side of the hill when the western sun was setting, as they would feed there in the evening time. And she'd see the black, long black hair on those goats. And she would see them as they would move and feed along. And they'd shimmer and glisten. And she'd look at it with admiration. How beautiful. I'd never be rich enough to own anything like that. So he picks up something she could relate to. Friend, you think he don't want you to get this? You think he don't love you so much? He would condescend to our language to talk like we Hillbilly Tennessee people talk in order to help you see. Let's marry it. Praise God. Praise God. Many of you have overcome television. You've overcome the addiction of sports, and you've overcome the addiction of alcohol and many different other things you've overcome. Can you overcome yourself enough to be able to let God show you, you, from the pages of this word, where you can really see you, your soul? I know it's hard. I know it is. Because you live in this old human veil. This is why we need to overcome. We need to overcome and let the Word of God discern and separate, divide the soul from the spirit and the soul from the body. Praise God. And we'd like to be remembered today before the Lord. My hand's up with you. Remember me. I see it, but I want to see it much more clear. Lord Jesus, we can sing the song. It's a beautiful song that we sing coming out, "Saturate My Soul." Brother Randy, hearing it quite some time back and sending it to me, Lord, how perfect it was for looking at the Song of Solomon. But we must be honest with you, sir. It's much easier to sing the song than it is to say in all reality that we see it. That we can say to the wind, come and take my virtues. Come and take my goodly character. My divine beauty given to me by my Lord. Take it. Blow it into the presence of the King. For I am inviting my King into his garden. Most of us look at ourselves constantly as being so short. Well, my spices aren't ripe yet. I'm not quite ready. I'm still working on this and working on that. And much of what we're working on ain't got nothing to do with the soul, no way. It's that old outer man that we'll never perfect. Lord Jesus, we need your help today. We need your help. Oh, Judge,
great judge, may we view and look through your eyes. Our comeliness is not our own. Our beauty is not our own. It is from our Lord. We are clothed in the garments of our elder brother. It is the smell of righteousness and purity, frankincense and myrrh. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, help us that we can beckon to the north and the south winds today, that they can come and blow from our soul. Take it across the mortal dimensions of time, light, matter, science. Blow it up to the throne of God, that our blessed husband can smell a fragrance from around the world of his bride getting ready to leave this world. Glory to God. No doubt Solomon could hear them as they were coming by the musicians. He could see the cloud of smoke. He knew she was getting close. Lord Jesus, look at us today. See if you see anything in us that displeases you. Wash us, Lord. Cleanse us. Purify us, Lord. Then let the wind blow. Hallelujah. It was you who come down on the day of Pentecost with that strong wind. If they would have waited till they were humanly perfect, they'd have never got the Holy Ghost. But you looked at them and said, they are ready. Here come the wind. And the wind blew across what they presented in the stage of sanctification. It blew around the upper room and blew that fragrance back into the throne of God. And there they step out, the mouthpieces of God. They offered their lives as an offering. Oh, Lord Jesus, blow across us today, Father. Blow across this congregation. Not our flesh, it'll never be perfect. Not our human makeup, it'll never be perfect. But blow across your deposit. Blow across the fruition of your seed in our souls. Blow into the presence of the King a readiness for the rapture. Will this be part of what will set the rapture in motion? A fragrance of readiness. A fragrance of readiness as it blows from Africa, across India, into China, Japan, Guam, comes into the West, across California, Europe, forevermore. A fragrance of the readiness of the bride. Oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Can we just raise our hands in the presence of the King? Just express it to him in your way. Tell him, friends, Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. Can you say with all sincerity today before David, one thing have I desired of the Lord? We're in this journey, the palanquin of the King. You've got these bodyguards around you. You've got the angels of the Most High. Treacherous nights. What enemies lay around us? But don't worry, little children. He will lead you safely. Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You feed us, you nurture us, you watch over us, you protect us, Lord God. We will be delivered. We will step down from the palanquin of the King. We will then march into this blessed city of heaven, the great paradise of God, in our new bodies, our new self. The angels of God, millions of them, will gather around as you introduce your wife to the angelic beings. Cherubim, seraphim, zooms, millions of them. As you take preeminence, as Solomon did in the last verse of chapter 3, is you take preeminence and say, angelic beings, you ministered to these when they were on the earth. You anointed my men servants. You walked up and down them aisles of Happy Valley. They sensed your strange presence, but they never saw you. But now let me introduce to you my queen, the love of my life. Lord God, she's the reason I died. She's the reason I raised. She's the reason I sent preachers. She's the reason I had church. She's the reason I sent William Branham. She's the reason. She has given me reason and purpose of being. Glory be to God. Let's stand our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Great Adonai. Blessed Lord Jesus. Lord, I've been longing for this rapture for a long time. But I sure ain't been longing for it as long as you have. You've been wanting it for millennia. Desiring it to come. Praise God. Hey, let's sing this song together again. Oh, how many wants the north wind to come and blow on your life? Not on your flesh now. Not on your frailties and your humanity. Many of you are waiting for that to get perfect. Then you can say, friends, we need victory to overcome and divide and separate this from where the victory actually lays. Let's worship Him together. Hallelujah.
Saturate my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Let the river flow.
Yes, Lord.
Let the north wind blow, lover of
my soul. Hallelujah.
Saturate my soul.
My soul.
Let the river flow.
Hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Verse.
Awake, north wind.
Yes.
Come, O south.
South, you gentle
blow
evening breeze.
Upon my garden, that the spices may flow out. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Oh, saturate my soul. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. For behold, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth again, the time of singing is come. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul. Saturate my soul, let the river flow, let the north wind blow, lover of my soul.
Get to it next time, but he tells her this in chapter 4, verse 14. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Now, he's not calling himself a living waters. He's calling the bride that. Finally, she arrives in verse 16 and says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden." He's told her all these things that's in my garden. And she said, "Okay, if you say so. Whatever you say." Don't you understand? Verse 16 is her amen.
Glory.
Praise God. Verse 16 is her amen. So be it. Let my beloved, listen what she says. Let my beloved, this is the last verse of the wedding night before the consummation. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Chapter 5, verse 1. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse, blood relation. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat! Oh, friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly. Oh, beloved. After she saw it, she invited him with all of his fullness. He came and took her away. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, children, if God could help us this morning. Some of y'all think of yourself as a garden. What do you think of? A couple of pumpkins? A couple of pumpkins and three or four radishes and some turnips? Don't you see why we need to overcome? These are some of the most fragrant, most expensive plants and herbs. Some of them was only available in India. Again, a shepherd boy wouldn't even know these things. He had never seen them in his life. This is not a shepherd boy. It's a king. He describes her, the crocus, taking thousands, thousands of the crocus flowers to make 1 ounce of this perfume. Some rose oil, it takes 60,000 rose flowers to make 1 ounce of this expensive oil. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, and difficulties, and hardships, and trials. And you take 60,000 rose flowers to produce 1 ounce of oil. Oh, my. Let's sing it again, Harry. God bless you, saints. I love you. Don't you love the Lord? Oh, my. Just take a little advice from a bodyguard, okay? Kick back, relax, and enjoy your journey. Be pampered. Be made over. Be loved. Be talked to, treated to, and act like royalty. The insignia is on your palanquin. You remember we looked at it months and months ago. When Jacob finally found out that Joseph was still alive, Joseph received permission to go down and retrieve his old daddy. His daddy and his brothers and their children and their family are barely scraping out a living down there. And here they come, the sounds of wagons. Praise God. People probably over in this part have never even seen an Egyptian wagon. But if they'd listen real close and maybe cup their hand behind their ear, the wagons were coming. Glory to God. I'm reminded of that little girl who was going to marry that rich man from Chicago. Made fun of and ridiculed and laughed at. But she stood out there on exactly the appointed day. All the rest of the churches made fun of her and called her names, whatever more. Didn't make no difference to her. her love was coming. I've got 1 minute left, she said, right down to the final tone, and here he come. The wagons was coming. If you could only understand it, friends, the wagons were coming. The palanquin, oh glory, to carry you away. Praise God. What if he's waiting on you to say, verse 16, so be it, my Lord. Come into your garden. And many of you have already received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You done got married, but you're waiting for the consummation of the body change. And when he comes in you into that fullness, your body will not be able to take it anymore. It will force you. Your cells will reverse. Your bones, your marrow, your hair, your eyes. You'll go back to an 18 to 20 year old man and woman, faultless. I told Brother Jim before church, I said, to me, one of the greatest things I think about heaven, I think about it frequently, is millions of people that's going to live on this earth, and none of us will ever have a bad day. Nobody will ever be ill. Nobody will be sick. Nobody. There'll never be no arguments. There'll never be anybody sad. Nobody gloomy. You talking about something. I can relate to that to me better than I can gold and, you know, and all that sort of thing. To think that God ordained a world full of sons and daughters. You're not going anywhere, and yet you've arrived. You're not one day older. If we could keep years after 100 million years, you still have no wrinkles, no bags under your eyes. Praise God, saints. This is not a dream. We're on our way. Let's sing it now with intent and purpose to ask God to illuminate us, to help us. Saturate my soul, Lord. Let the wind blow across your deposit. Not what I am. I ain't no good. But blow across your deposit. Let's worship him together, can we?
Can we start it like this? Oh, draw me, Lord.
Glory.
Oh, draw
yes, Lord.
Me, Lord.
Oh, mighty God.
Oh, draw
yes.
me, Lord.
My Lord.
I will run.
Hallelujah.
After you.
After you, O Lord.
Oh, draw me.
Can we raise our hands and sing it together? Draw us, Lord.
Oh, draw.
saturate my soul.
Oh God.
Let river flow.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. You're the lover of my soul. Saturate my soul.
Oh Jesus.
Let the river flow.
Oh Jesus.
Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. My beloved spoke and said unto me, rise up, my fair one, come away with me. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Saturate my soul. Let the river flow.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul. Behold, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth again. The time of singing is
come.
Saturate my soul. Let the river flow. Let the north wind blow. Lover of my soul.
Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of another blessed time that we've had together today, we want to thank you. May we say how much we appreciate the comfort of this palanquin that you provided for us. May we say how much we appreciate the wonderful food that you've given us on our journey back. May we say thank you from this water from the rock which we drink from constantly. May we thank you for this bride's revival that we're in. Amen. May we thank you for every God-called bodyguard. May we thank you, Lord, for every good and precious gift that comes from above. And may we also thank you that our journey is coming close to its end. Before long, we will converge together with our blessed Solomon, as it was our Lord Jesus. And we will walk down streets of gold. Heavenly Father, may there not be a one of us here present today missing on that day. I can't wait to take my sweet wife by her hand. I'll be young again. She'll be young again. Our children, our friends, our loved ones. We'll walk down the streets of gold, paradise of God, never to grow old again. Lord Jesus, keep us till that hour arrives. Keep us faithful and true, Lord. Go with us now. Bring us back at the appointed time. Bless the visitors in our gates. Trust they've received a little something from you today, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. We depart from this place, but not from your presence. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
How many can say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord today? Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, Lord willing, I'll see you Wednesday night. I'll be up with Brother Mike Wall, Sr., up at his place next weekend. I guess about 25 years ago when I was up there, so he's having a 25th anniversary, and he wanted me to come back and be up there with him. So Brother David Siler will be here next weekend. You're always blessed by Brother David, so you know you'll be blessed by the services. Anyway, we look at it, really, we got so many good things coming our way, don't we? God bless you. Go in the fear of God, saints. Sing here.
You are awesome in this place, my
you, saints.
You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, oh mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place. You are worthy of all praise. Yeah.